Okay, so this week's parsha, we have Parsha's Pinchas. And if anybody has a Siddur in front of them, if you want to open up quickly, to if you could find the Seder of Bris Mila. I know in the art scrolls, the Hebrew-only art scrolls, it's on page... You don't have to, if not. Yeah, sorry. It's on page 90 in the Hebrews. If not, you don't have to. I'll just say it out loud. But this is the beginning of Bris Mila. We say, Baruch Haba. We invite the tinok, the baby, to come inside. And then what does the mo'al say? We don't really know this because we don't say this, but the mo'al, the one performing the bris, says something. We don't pay attention to it. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor. Hashem says to Moshe, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas, the son of Aaron, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen. Heishiv es chamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael. Goes on a few psukim. We'll get to what it means. We're taking the first three psukim from this week's parsha, Parsha's Pinchas. There's no mention of Bris Mila in these three psukim. The word Brisi Shalom, a bris, a covenant, a treaty of peace, is mentioned at the end. The word bris is used by Pinchas, the word bris is by Bris Mila, but there's no mention of an actual Bris Mila by Pinchas. If I were to write the Seder, the order of Bris Mila, I would have picked psukim from Parsha's Lech Lecha, where God told Avram how to do the Bris Mila, or perhaps Parshas Tazria, in the beginning it mentions that after 8 days, you give a bris milah. Why Parshas Pinchas are we using as the introduction to a bris milah? So we'll leave that in the back burner for now, and hopefully we'll develop some idea, which we'll come back and explain why it's very appropriate that Pinchas is introduced in the bris milah. So as always, let's look into the Mar Makomos, the text of the Parsha, raise some questions, get our minds thinking, and see what where we go. So the first page here, the first few psukim, is really from Parshas Balak. It's the same parak, but Parshas Balak is the first nine psukim of Parak Lafay. So the first nine psukim, that's the end of Balak, and then Pasuk Yud is Pinchas. Let's just read from the end of Balak, the beginning, the first pasuk of the sheet. Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim, as we said last week, Bnei Yisrael settled in this place called Shittim. Vayachal Ha'am, the nation desecrated Liznosel Benos Moab. They performed Znus with Benos Moab. Vatikren La'am, the Zivchei Eloheyen, and Benos Moab, the daughters of Moab, enticed them to perform Avodah Zarah to the gods. Vayachal Ha'am, the nation of Am Yisrael, ate with them, Vayishachal Eloheyen, and they bowed down to the idols of Moab. By Yitzamid Yisrael, Yisrael became very attached to the Baal Peor. Baal Peor was the name of this idol. They became attached to this Avodah Zarah. By Yichar Ach Hashem, God got extremely angry by Yisrael. He got very angry at Klal Yisrael. By Yomer Hashem El Moshe, says to Moshe, Kach Eskol Roshei Ha'am, take the heads of the nation, V'hokah Asam El Hashem, hang them up, hang them, kill them, Neged Hashemesh, they should be facing the sun. By Yashav Charon Ach Hashem, and his anger was settled by Yisrael. He says to the judges of people, the heads of the Klal Yisrael, go kill the people. Those people who are still attached to the idols, go kill them, Moshe says. And a certain individual from Bnei Yisrael came by Yaakov El Achiv and Midyanis. He brought forward to his brothers of Midyanis, the woman, Leinei Moshe, the eyes of Moshe, Ulenei Kaladas Bnei Yisrael, to the eyes of the people. It was a public event. Vehema Bochim, they began to cry, everybody. Pesach Ol Moed, in the front of the entrance to the Mishkan. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas saw, who was Pinchas? He was the son of Elazar, he was the son of Aaron HaKohen. What did he do? Vayakum Yitoh Chayidah, he got up. Vayikach Romach Vyodah, he took a spear. He ended up killing them. Vayavoach Har Ish Yishol HaKuba. He followed them into the tent. Vayit Kores Shem Ish Yisrael V'es Yishol HaKabasa. He speared both them. There was a plague, and the plague stopped after Pinchas killed him. 24,000 people got killed. That's what Pinchas did. Now the next two psukim, this is the introduction to Parshas Pinchas now. Vayidaber, going forward, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor, Hashem said to Moshe, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. We know who Pinchas was. Just say once. Pinchas was Elazar, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, a few psukim later, and now just say Pinchas. You don't have to tell me his whole history again. So why the repetition? That's one question we want to point out. Now, reading further in the psukim of Parshas Pinchas, We have Heshiv es Hamasi me'al b'nei Israel. He settled the wrath of God that was on b'nei Israel. Bikono es kinasi b'socham, with the jealousy Hashem had within Klal Yisrael. Lo chilisi es b'nei Israel b'kinasi. And God and Klal Yisrael was not wiped out. So the question is here, there are two words that describe how God felt. There's Hamasi, Hashem's wrath, and there's Kinasi, his jealousy. What's the difference? Again, Heshiv is Hamasi, Bikano is Kinasi. What are these two different feelings of God, of wrath and jealousy? That's another question we'd like to have. And then Pasuk Yud Beis says, after Pinchas did all this, whatever he did, he killed the people and he somehow settled the wrath and jealousy. It says, Lachena more, therefore you should say, Hinanino sein lo es brisi shalom, I'm going to give him bris shalom. So the question that Omer Farshim asks, why in the world is he zocha to bris shalom? What does bris shalom mean? It means some covenant, some treaty of peace. Pinchas did quite a vicious act. Perhaps he was justified for doing it, but he killed two people. So because he killed two people, he's going to be zocha to a treaty of peace. That's the question Omer Farshim asks. So we're going to also ask that question. And then, Vayesa lo lezarel achrav, and it was to Pinchas and to his children to follow, bris kuhunas olam, he had the bris of kuhuna, forever. Takas, under asher kina lelokav, again the lashon kina, the jealousy of God, vayechap al bnei Yisrael. He was ocha to another bris, the bris of kuhuna. Yes?
Was it because he was acting as a
kanai? So, because he was acting as a kanai, you would think he wouldn't get shalom. Yeah, why? But a kanai sometimes has this feeling inside, and he always wants to attack and criticize and be aggressive. So it would be counterintuitive to think he should merit something of peace. Ah, so right, you're suggesting since his intentions were to help serve God, he tried. It was all Shem Shemayim. Even though the act itself was very vicious and violent, but since his intentions were to God, he was zocha to, because he ultimately wanted to accomplish peace. For sure. Many of Farshim explain exactly like that.
Dangerous concept.
Very dangerous concept. You have to be a person, it's very risky. And Pinchas was zocha to Lot because he took this risk and he, you know, cashed in on it. And he knew exactly when to do it. He was a peaceful person in general. He was a grandson of Aaron. Aaron was the epitome of what it means to be Rodef Shalom, chasing peace.
So what does it mean for him to get the kahuna?
So
first of all, he killed someone, which we already know Kohen can't. Secondly, what is it that Eleazar was a Kohen? So what was he going to do?
Right.
He was going to be a Kohen.
Well, so no. So Rashi already points out, Pinchas wouldn't be a Kohen. Why? Because anyone who was born already, before Aaron became Kohen, anyone who was born was not a Kohen. Only Aaron and his sons were appointed Kohanim. Pinchas already was born, so he didn't get the status of Kohen. Anyone who was to be born after Aaron was appointed and his sons were appointed Kohanim, they would be Kohanim. But the people who were alive during the appointment of Aaron did not have the kahuna. So that's what Rashi points out. Pinchas wasn't a Kohen even though he came from Aaron. So he wasn't a Kohen, and because of this act again, the spearing of these two people, he was zocha to a second bris kuhuna. Why is bris kuhuna? What exactly is going on there? We'll try to answer that one a little bit this week. I want to focus more on bris shalom. Bris kuhuna shalom, I'm going to try to leave perhaps for next week a little more. I'll say something to answer it at the end, hopefully. But we're going to focus more on bris shalom. But either way, he was zocha to two covenants. One of shalom, peace, and one of kuhuna. And also, again, kuhuna is also pretty strange because Kohen is supposed to be doing acts of chesed and working the Beis HaMikdash and not doing violent acts. In fact, even a Kohen who kills someone, who's a rotzach, who murders someone, even though he does kapara, whatever kapara he could do, he can never work in the Beis HaMikdash, he can't do duchening anymore. So, Ritzicha also is against everything a Kohen stands for, against what everybody stands for. Even more so, a Kohen who we hold a higher standard sometimes, why is he zocha to kahuna? Because he kills somebody. So these are some of the questions you want to raise. Again, why is Pinchas repeated as Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron, or Kohen? One should be enough. A few psukim earlier. What's the difference between Hamasi? What's the difference between Kinasi? Wrath versus jealousy? And what's these two brises, these two treaties, covenants, that he was zocha to because of his actions?
Now, looking forward, I don't want to read the psukim so much, but the next parak Chavav, towards the bottom, we begin to count Klal Yisrael. After the Magefa, we count Reuven and we count Shimon, and we go through all the names and all the family names, and a lot of mention of names and families. We see this all the time throughout the Parsha. Is there a reason particularly why it's in Parshas Pinchas? We just said there's something unique about Pinchas in delineating his history, his ancestry, and now we're going back to Reuven and all the Shvatim and all their ancestry. And then you jump to page 3. In the middle of page 3, this is Bamidbar Perek Chav Zayin. We have a well-known story of Bnos Tzlafchad. Bnos Tzlafchad, the daughters of Tzlafchad. Tzlafchad died. According to some opinions in Shabbos, he was the Mekoshesh Eitzim. He was the person who gathered the tree, the wood on Shabbos, whatever the machok is, what exactly the Isser was, but he was killed for doing some malach on Shabbos. I think Rabbi Akiva is the opinion there. He says that was Tzlafchad, and others argue it wasn't Tzlafchad. But either way, Tzlafchad was dead. He left over a few daughters. And now who is going to get his inheritance? Who is going to get his portion of the land? So when Bnos Tzlafchad come forward to Moshe Rabbeinu, in Pasuk Aleph it says as follows, Vatikravna Bnos Tzlafchad. Bnos Tzlafchad came forward to Moshe, Ben Chefer, Ben Gila, Ben Machir, Ben Menashe, Ben Mishchas, Ben Menashe, Ben Yosef. We have the whole history of who they came from. Now, if you look a few, you know, psukim earlier, we don't have to look there, but a few psukim earlier, we do know, they already counted who they are. I should have highlighted it. We already know what family they come from, because we just went through all the Shvatim. And now again, we're saying, who's Bnos Tzlafchad? Ben Chefer, Ben Gila, Ben Machir, Ben Asher. This is the son of Chefer, the son of Gila, the son of Machir, the son of Menashe, and Menashe is the son of Yosef. Why the repetition again of all the ancestry? And then furthermore, just take a quick look. What was the biggest concern of Bnos Tzlafchad? So this is Pasuk Dalet on the same page 3. It says, Lama Yigara Shem Avinu Mitoch Mishpachta. Why is the name Shem? Shem is going to be very important. Keep that in mind. Why is our father going to lose out? His name is going to be lost because he has no sons. That means his legacy is over. That was the concern of Bnos Tzlafchad. But the question we want to raise here again, why are we repeating who Bnos Tzlafchad comes from? We already mentioned it. So these are some of the questions that should get our mind working a little bit, getting, you know, a little familiar with the Parsha. The rest of the Parsha, just to give you, for background sake, or we don't need it for the shiur tonight, but after this it talks about Moshe being Somech's hand. He places his hands on Yeshua to empower him as the new leader. That's the next Kipsukim. And the final part of the Pinchas is all the Karbanos that are Yom Tovim, which we read, and Sukkos and Shavuos and Pesach, all these psukim and karbanos is the rest of Parshas Pinchas, which we're not going to get into. Yes.
This is the answer to the Pinchas problem in our point.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we were just saying how he was appointed Kohen, even though he was our grandson. So maybe this is how a lot of the Rashi gets the source. Because if it says Ben Aaron or Kohen, obviously he would be a Kohen. Then he gets the answer from this. So then this is where he gets the source of his answer. This is emphasizing that he was appointed a Kohen and he was never a Kohen.
You said because we repeated who we came from twice, you're saying that even though he came from Aaron, he was not a Kohen? I mean, only Aaron was a Kohen and not Pinchas?
Yeah, and it's telling us that he was appointed a Kohen.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So that's how you want to explain where the double mention of this lineage is to emphasize that Aaron was a Kohen and not Pinchas. And it was only because Pinchas did this special act of Shem Shemayim, he was Zochot of the Kohuna.
Yeah. And also about the
notes,
Tzlafchad. Tzlafchad,
yeah.
Maybe it's because if his father's name is lost, obviously Yosef is
Right.
So, wouldn't his name be lost? Is she kind of
saying
that?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely could be a big part of it, that ultimately Yosef's name will be lost. But they could also be concerned with their father, Tzlafchad. He himself would be enough of a reason to be concerned. I mean, even because if Tzlafchad had no sons, they were concerned that their father would lose the name, would lose his legacy. Not necessarily because of Yosef. Yosef would be another reason. But Tzlafchad himself was enough of a reason to be concerned he would lose on his legacy. Okay, fine. So, these are some of the questions we want to deal with. So let's go back to the beginning of the Marmukamos, but the end of Parshas Balak. The end of Parshas Balak, we said that there are two, we mentioned last week also, there are two Isurim that took place with Benos Moav. One of them was Znus, and one of them was Bapo, or it was Avodah Zarah. These two Isurim. And the question is, how did Pinchas, what did Pinchas do to, to get rid of these Averos, to remove these Averos, to remove these, the Magefa that took place? So, let's take a look at who exactly did Pinchas come from. So the Pasuk tells us Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen. He came from Elazar, he came from Aaron. Who was from his mother's side? So Rashi tells us already, he quotes from a Gemara in Bava Basra. Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Tes Amun Beis. Very interesting Gemara, a little bit of an Agadata here, that a person should always cling to good people. That's what the Gemara says. Because Moshe married the daughter of Yisro. He clung to a good person of Yisro. Yotzim imenu Yehonasan. Came out from this, Yehonasan was an offspring of Moshe. Aaron shenasa bas Aminadav. Aaron married the daughter of Aminadav, who was also a big gadol. Yotzim imenu Pinchas. Pinchas came from Aaron. Since they cling to people of greatness, they had offspring who were great as well. So Gemara says, Pinchas lav mi Yisro asi? Pinchas didn't come from Yisro? Doesn't the Pasuk in Parsha Shmos say, Elazar ben Aaron, Elazar the son of Aaron, lokach lo mibnos Putiel, he married someone from the doors of Putiel, Leisha, and they had a son, Pinchas. Who's Putiel? So Gemara says, doesn't Putiel refer to Yisro, shepitem agolim lavodazar, shepitem, he fattened up cows for making them look nicer for avodazara. Lashon of Puti means to fatten up. That's Putiel. Elazar married someone from Putiel. Putiel is a reference to Yisro. So Elazar married Yisro's daughter. So Elazar and Yisro's daughter had Pinchas. Pinchas came from Yisro also. So the Gemara says, but didn't he come from Yosef? Because Yosef, we also have a similar lashon. Shepit pe Yisro. Pit pe means he overcame his Yetzer. His Yetzer Hara. So Gemara ends up concluding, you're right. Pinchas' mother, so we can follow, Pinchas' mother came from Yisro and Yosef, right? His mother had, father and mother. So one side was from Yisro, one side was from Yosef. You all following that? That's all on his mother's side. So just to make things simple, we're going to remove Yisro from the picture. Take Yisro out of here. So ultimately, Pinchas had from his mother's side Yosef, from his father's side, Aaron. So that's what we're working with right now. Aaron and Yosef as his grandfathers or great-grandfathers. So what does it tell us about Yosef? Because, again, Elazar married Putiel. What does Putiel mean? Gemara says, Shepit peit b'yitzro. That Yosef, he struggled and he fought and he overcame his Yetzer. Well, when did he overcome his Yetzer? Eishes Potifar. Again, Lashon Poti, Eishes Potifar. So Yosef, when he went down to Mitzrayim and he worked for Potifar, so Eishes Potifar tried seducing him. And Yosef stood strong and he overcame his Yetzer. So Yosef was zochet to this power of protecting from Ein Hara, from Yetzer Hara, from Gilar Raos. That was Yosef's big conquest. He overcame Yetzer Hara of Gilar Raos. So this idea Yosef instilled into his, I think it's his grandson, maybe great-grandson, Pinchas. Down the mother's line, Pinchas was zochet. He merited this koach, this ability to overcome a Yetzer Hara of Gilar Raos. So we also know that the Bris Milah is also a way, it's a Maisa Mitzvah we do, which also is supposed to be a way of somehow helping instill power of overcoming the Yetzara of Gilei Raos. So I'd like to develop right now how Yosef, we already pointed out Yosef is connected to the word Bris, not the word, but the concept of Bris, because just as Bris represents how we're holy, Klai says holy, and to show we're supposed to conquer Yetzer Hara, supposed to give us the power to conquer the voters of the Yetzer Hara of Gilei Raos, I'd like to now connect the word Shalom to Yosef and the word Shalom to Bris Milah. That's the triangle we're working with. Yosef and Bris are connected now because the Yetzer Hara we just pointed out, conquering the Yetzer Hara. Now the word Shalom, I'd like to connect to Yosef and the word Shalom to Bris Milah. And I'll tell you, you'll see why in a second. So first of all, the word the Targum Onkelos uses to explain Bris Milah is the word Shalem he uses. Shalem, completion. It makes a lot of sense. When someone gets a Bris Milah, he's completed. I believe it's the Sefer Chinuch says that when man is born, he's born imperfect. And it's man's ability to perfect creation. So by performing the Bris Milah, you've made someone Shalem, you've made someone complete. And the word Shalom is obviously from the same shorish, the same root as Shalom, peace. Shalom and Shalom are the same, peace. So now we've just shown that Bris Milah is very much connected to the word Shalom. Because performing Bris Milah completes a person's body. Now let's show how Yosef is connected to the word Shalom. So let's travel back in history to the stories of Yosef and the brothers. And here this begins in on page 4 here. I've taken certain excerpts from Sefer Bereishis. You can skim through and see the word Shalom up here. Now let's go through the story and highlight how Yosef is so correlated to this word Shalom. So let's begin on page 4, in the middle, Pasuk Yud Beis, by Yelchu Echav. So Yosef just came home. I'll give the background for a second. I'm sure we're all familiar, but I'll say it anyways. Yosef just came home, he told his brothers, he told his father about all these dreams he had of the stars and the sun and the sheaves and everyone bowing down to him and everyone's all jealous and they're all upset. So what happened? Vayelchu Echav, in Pasuk Yud Beis, his brothers went liros hetzon aviyam b'Shechem. The brothers went to go graze or take the cattle to graze the fields in Shechem. Vayomer Yisrael Yosef, Yisrael says to his son Yosef, Halo achecha ro'om b'Shechem l'cha, b'Shechem? Aren't your brothers going grazing in the land? Go out and go seek them. And Yosef says, here I am. Go out and see the peace, the word shalom. Go see the peace of your brothers. The double lashon, the shalom atzon. Go see the peace of the... What's going on here? Shalom achecha, I could understand. But was Yaakov concerned? Was Yaakov concerned that the brothers, something wrong was going on with them? No, Yaakov understood what went on. He understood the jealousy that went on, and he wants to have Yosef make peace with him. So the lashon, double lashon of shalom achecha v'shalom atzon. So he goes off, and ultimately the brothers throw him in the pit. They sell him down to Mitzrayim. The word shalom doesn't appear again for a while in the parsha in the Torah. So when you jump now in the next page, this is a 4 prakim later. This is Perek Mem Aleph now. This is page 5. So Yosef is down in the dungeon. He's put in prison in Mitzrayim. He had a couple of friends there. They had dreams. Sar Mashkim, Sar Ofen. They told him their dreams. The Sar Mashkim was put back into his position. Sar Ofen was hanged, and he predicted their destiny appropriately based on the dreams they told him. And then Paro wakes up, and he has a couple of dreams. He has cows, big cows, small cows, fat sheaves and thinner ones and drier. Doesn't know what's going on. Someone please explain them. No one gave a satisfying interpretation. So finally, Sar Mashkim says, oh, I know this great person, Yosef. He knows about dreams. So what happens? So let's jump. This is Perek Mem Alef to Pasuk Yud Dalet. This first paragraph, Pasuk Yud Dalet. It says, Vayishlach Paro, Vayikras Yosef, he sent to Yosef, Vayiritsu min Abor, they removed him from the boar, the pit. Paro, he changed his clothing, went to Paro. Paro said to Yosef, Chalom chalamti posa einosa. I dreamt the dream. I don't have an interpretation. I heard about you. Leimor tishma chalom, lifter aso. Listen to my dream and explain it for me. Vayan Yosef, as Paro leimor. Listen to the first thing Yosef says after coming out of the pit. V'ladai elokim yaneh shalom Paro. God will answer and give peace to Paro. The word Shalom does not appear from this word Shalom I mentioned until the last time when Yaakov sent off Yosef. Yosef was down in Mitzrayim for quite some time. He had to do a lot of thinking, and he was in the jail for some time. And the first thing he thinks of is the word Shalom, peace. Now this is on his mind right now, the word peace. And then the word doesn't appear until Perek Mem Gimel now. This is the next Perek. Let's jump to the last page. We know the brothers came down to get more food. And again, the word Shalom does not appear now until Pasuk Chaf Gimel. And you see the last page, just looking, the highlights, how many times the word Shalom is mentioned in these few Pesukim here. Look at this response. The whole conversation we're about to see, the whole dialogue, it almost makes no sense. It's like overuses of the word Shalom. So Pasuk Chaf Gimel says, Vayomer Shalom Lachem Al Tirao. So Yosef, his brothers come down, and Yosef says to them, Shalom Lachem Al Tirao, Elokeichem Elokei Avichem Nosem Lachem Amtmom Bamtoch Hoseim Kaspechem Boilai Yotzei Alei Meshimon. Says, don't worry about it. Don't be so concerned. There will be peace with you. Don't worry so much. Yosef, and he brought the person to the house of Yosef. He gave them water. They washed their legs. They gave something for the donkeys. Yosef, fine. Jump to Pasuk Chaf Zayin now. Then he already said the word Shalom to them. Now he asks them again. The Shalom. He asks, is everything okay? Is Shalom with your father, the elder one? Asher Martim Ha'adenu Chai, Vayimu Shalom Lavdech Alavinu. Everything's good with him. So we see back and forth, the word Shalom was repeated twice. Yosef already said Shalom, and he said Shalom again, and then Shalom again, and then Shalom again. Four times the word Shalom is used. Over the past seven prakim or so, the word Shalom was used three times. Twice when Yaakov sent him off, once when Yosef came out of the bor, perhaps he started realizing the need for Shalom, and then finally when the brothers meet Yosef, the word Shalom is used four times. So the Torah is trying to tell us something. And it's also obvious, you wouldn't need the Torah perhaps to say this either, but it emphasizes, it highlights the point. That obviously Yosef was trying to create Shalom with his brothers. Because there was a lot of jealousy going on. So Yosef ultimately accomplished his Shalom. So now we see two things from Yosef. Yosef was the ultimate peacemaker, even though he created jealousy in the beginning, however, with all the dreams. In the end, he brought all the brothers down, he brought them all back together, and everyone was happy. We also know that big thing about Yosef, he conquered his Yetzer Hara when it came to Gilai Raos. And he was Zocha to what they call in Machshav, the world of Machshav or Kabbalah, I think it's Yesod Bris, or Bris Yesod. It's concept, he was Zocha to this Bris, of the Bris Milah, because he conquered the Yetzer Hara of Gilai Raos. So the concept of Bris, Mila, and the concept of Shalom is something very much related, correlated with Yosef. So it was this that Pinchas was able to tap in to his grandfather. Yosef may have been his great-grandfather. And to use the kohos, the power of Yosef, to fight the Yetzirah of the Znus of Moab. Remember, there are two Yisurim of Bnos Moab. One is they performed Znus, they enticed them, the Arayos. And that Pinchas was able to stop using the power of his great-grandfather, of Yosef. The power of what we'll know as Bris Shalom in a second. On the other hand, and this I want to spend less time on, perhaps next week we'll spend more, Yosef had another grandfather, that was Aaron. And we know Aaron and the Egal Zav, and there's a lot of Avodah Zarah there. Aaron tried preventing them from doing Avodah Zarah. Everyone said when by Har Sinai, right, what happened? Moshe didn't come down, they miscalculated. They wanted to make their own god. Aaron tried preventing them. He did whatever he could do. He couldn't help it. He fought hard. Somehow Aaron represents fighting against Avodah Zarah. It needs to be developed more, I agree. It's a work in progress. But his other grandfather gave Pinchas the power to fight against the second Isser of the Avodah Zarah, of Moab. Right, are we following this? Again, Moab had two, they did two Isserim. Where they caused him to do two Isserim. One was Arayos and one was Avodah Zarah. So Pinchas tapped into his grandfather Yosef to help fight the Znus. He tapped into his grandfather to help fight Aaron. Fight the Avodah Zarah. He used Aaron's kohos to fight the Avodah Zarah. So now I like to use these ideas to explain the Pesukim in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. What's Chamasi? What's Kinasi? What's Bris Shalom? What's Bris Kuhuna? So, back to the first page, and this is Pasuk Yud again. Pasuk Yud is the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. So let's read it again slowly now, and let's pay attention. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, Hashem says to Moshe, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heishiv es chamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael. He settled my anger, bekano es kenasi b'socham, and my jealousy. So if I had to ask you, there's chamasi, there's wrath, and then there's jealousy. And we said there are two Yisurim that took place. There's Arayos and there's Avodah Zarah. which would correspond to which feeling would correspond to which iser? So I would think easier, yeah?
Jealousy.
Exactly. So avodah kinasi is for sure God's jealous when you perform avodahs to other idols. And if you look in the Pesukim and Parshas Yisro, maybe I'll read it if I could get it really quickly here. It should be in the back. In Parshas Yisro, when we're commanded the Aseret HaDibros, and one of the Aseret HaDibros is Avodah Zarah. Say it again. So it says, Lo Sishachav Elohim, don't bow down to them. Lo Sav them, and don't serve them. Ki Anochi Hashem Elokech, I'm God. Kel Kano, I'm a God who's jealous. I give punishments to generations to come. The word kina, jealousy, is used in the context of Avodah Zarah. And there's a very interesting Ramban here also goes on how the Lashon kina is particularly appropriate for Avodah Zarah. It's logical, it makes sense. So kinasi was a reference to the Avodah Zarah that took place. Now that leaves us chamasi, the wrath, the anger was for the Arias. I must admit, I was looking hard to find any psukim that connected the word chema and Arias. I haven't come up with anything yet. I spoke to a big town of Chacham, he agreed with me. He didn't find me a good proof yet, so working on that. But it does make sense if we have these two Yisurim and these two feelings. So kina would correlate to the Avodah Zarah, and the chema would correlate to the Arias. We'll look for proofs if anyone finds. I'd appreciate it. I'm going to still work on that. Fine. So let's read the Pesukim now. So Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, he shivas chamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael. He settled the anger on b'nei Yisrael, the anger that he did for performing Arias. B'konos kinasi b'sochem, and the jealousy that was within me, within them. That was a reference to the Avodah Zarah. Lo chilisas b'nei Yisrael b'kinasi, I didn't wipe them out because of my jealousy, because of my Avodah Zarah. So, it's also interesting, we didn't ask this question before, but what was the Magefa for? Was the Magefa because of their Arias? Or was the Magefa because of the Avodah Zarah? So it's, I think if we're explaining the Pasuk correctly, it's the Magefa. The Pasuk says, I would have wiped you out because of my jealousy for performing Avodah Zarah. I would have done that, but Pinchas stopped my jealousy and I didn't wipe you out. So because of their Arias, God wouldn't have wiped them out. Because of the Avodah Zarah, he would have wiped them out. Okay, fine. That's going to be very important for the Bris Kahuna, which we're going to hopefully get to. We'll say a little bit now. I hope I'm not getting too confusing here. We're hopefully going to say that more for next week. So now let's look at what are the two merits of Bris. What was he Zocha to? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Pinchas killed one person. Why is this calm Hashem? Why he's just doing what Hashem wasn't like this a spontaneous act per se. This is what Hashem commanded Moshe to tell the people, and Pinchas is following what he was told.
No, so it's a little different because Moshe tells the people to kill those hanitzmodim lebaal por, those who are attached to the Avodah Zarah. Pinchas was faced with a different point. That was when the Kazbi and Zimri, when they were doing the Maisa Bia, that was a different act. And that's when Pinchas came forward. That wasn't the Avodah Zarah. Moshe told him to kill because of the Avodah Zarah. Pinchas killed because of the Arias that was taking place. So it was a slightly different case. Fine, so now we set up two Isurim. There are two feelings of God. And now we're going to see there are going to be two merits that Pinchas gets. So what are the two merits? What are the two brises? We have Bris Shalom, and we have Bris Kahuna. So now we just developed an idea. Who's Bris Shalom? That's Yosef, right? Bris Shalom is about a Bris Mila. It's about Shalom. It's about Yosef being able to overcome the Arias. So since Pinchas was able to combat the Arias of Moab, he was able to settle the anger, the wrath of God. he was zocha to the next level of bris shalom, the bris of Yosef HaTzadik. Because Yosef HaTzadik, again, was the one who epitomized the ability to overcome one's yetzer hara by raios. So since Pinchas, he ended that yetzer, that raios that was going on, he was zocha to the same thing as Yosef HaTzadik, the bris shalom. Right? Is that clear to everybody? How bris shalom we connected to Yosef? Yosef was about Arias, and bris shalom is the outcome, the result, the reward you get for overcoming Arias. So that explains the first bris that Pinchas gets. And the second bris, bris kahuna, that's going to be correlated to the other Isser. Let's follow this path. The Isser was Avodah Zarah. God was jealous. Pinchas ended that jealousy. He was ocha to bris kahuna. Bris kahuna is related to somehow Aaron, which we'll have to develop maybe next week more. And we said that the Avodah Zarah would have caused God to wipe them out entirely, but somehow Bris Kahuna correlates to saving the lives of Klal Yisrael. Yeah?
If Pinchas, they were doing not the Avodah Zarah, they were doing, the enticement.
Yeah?
So then why was God's jealousy subsided by killing this person? Why doing Avodah Zarah?
No, we said there were two. So it's good. Right, good question. Pinchas was really attacking one of these servants. They're Arias. Very good. So I'm not really sure the answer to that. I don't know. It's a great question. I'll have to look into it more. But you're right. Pinchas was only really combating one of these servants. Two servants took place. So why was his jealousy calmed down by that? It could be since the act he did was so powerful, even though he's only attacking one of these servants. It made the other Isser subside as well. Everyone said, whoa, what just happened? He just speared these two people here.
Couldn't they have been related to, I'm not aware of, maybe read it, but whatever the bad acts that were going on with this war, that could have been in the context of a Avodah Zarah, the cultic and sexual whatever.
Right.
It could have been related to a Avodah Zarah.
That's a great point, actually. Last week we mentioned
really both of them. It could have been a combination of Avodah Zarah and
we do the two of them together. The pasuk says it clearly. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, Yeshiv et Chamati ma'at b'nei Yisrael bekanoi kinati. And kina is regarding Avodah Zarah.
But he's pointing out Pinchas' actual act was killing the Kozbi doing the Ma'aseh Biyah. That's only a rile at the end.
Right.
He didn't do any actions towards the Avodah Zarah in his act. You're right. The pasuk describes it as settling.
It's true. It does not have any action. So why the pasuk says bekanoi kinati?
Exactly. So that's what he's pointing out. So I don't know. One suggestion, I said maybe since the action he did by the Arias was so powerful, it made everybody in Klal Yisrael step back and say, whoa, what just happened? And everyone stopped doing the Avodah Zarah, even though the act was only towards
him.
But what you're suggesting is a great point, because we mentioned this last week. Rashi says, what exactly happened with Moab? So first they enticed them. But while they were enticing them, they pulled out the idol and said, do Baal Peor, which we said was the Maisa of defecation in front of the Baal Peor. We said, who in their right mind would ever do such a Maisa? But since the Klal Yisrael went to such a low level of Znus and they weren't thinking straight, they were able to pull fast one and say, okay, do the Avodah to the Baal Peor. So they were very much intertwined, and maybe what you're saying, very good.
Well, that would go to my first point then, that he's just doing what Moshe was instructed to tell people. If they're doing Avodah Zarah, you should kill them. So that's what he did. So what's so great about killing these people if they're doing Avodah Zarah? That's what they were instructed
to do.
No one
else
did.
Right. So,
how do you know that?
So what I'm saying, I'm not sure if what's his name? If Cosby and Zimri were doing Avodah Zarah, they were doing Ma'aseh Biyah. I'm not sure if they...
Right. No, I'm saying
it may ultimately lead to it,
right.
But at that point, maybe they hadn't done it yet, so they weren't, punished yet. You got a question? Okay. Fine, so now we have this nice layout of the Pesukim. Let me just repeat again one more time. We have two Isurim. Let's take one at a time. There was this Nus of Moab, and that was the wrath of God, and Pinchas settled that wrath and was zocha to the Bris Shalom. Bris Shalom related to Bris Milah, which is related to Arias. And Shalom is about, we said also is about Bris Milah, because Targum says Bris Milah is about being Shalom, being complete. And now where did he get the ability to attack such a Rials to get this Bris Shalom? So that I want to suggest Pinchas got from his great-grandfather Yosef. He was empowered with this capability of overcoming the Yetzer Hara he was given from Yosef. That's one track. That's the Rials track. We have the second track, the other Isser that Moab performed or made them be over the Isser of Avodah Zarah. So that Avodah Zarah created a feeling of jealousy to God. And that also Pinchas ended. We're not sure how, either because the act was so great it just made everybody stop, or perhaps the two Yisroelim were intertwined. And because of that act of ending the Avodah Zarah, Pinchas was zocha to another bris called Bris Kahuna. And somehow Kahuna and Aaron and Avodah Zarah are somehow related. Perhaps we'll develop that next week. But how did he get this ability, Yosef? Sorry, Pinchas? Because his grandfather Aaron somehow stood against Avodah Zarah. Perhaps through the Egal Zav, which requires more looking into. So Pinchas, in a sense, he tapped into his ancestry. He used the powers of Yosef, he used the powers of Aaron to attack both of these Yisroelim. Now this will explain the repetition of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. He wasn't just Pinchas. He was Pinchas, who was the son of Elazar, who was the son of Aaron. Now we didn't mention, it doesn't say he was also the grandson of Yosef. That's based on a drasha. We don't normally carry one's lineage back to their, from the mother's side. But Pinchas was able to use the capabilities and the strengths that his grandfather and great-grandfather Yosef, on the other hand, gave him and instilled within him. And that's the repetition to highlight this point. And that's why he was able to overcome these two Yisurim. Now moving forward, in Benos Tzlafchad, we said the same thing. We went through all the families, all the Shvatim, and who was with who. We knew where Tzlafchad was. We knew which family they lived in and were raised. We knew what Sheva they were in. Yet, when Benos Tzlafchad came forward, the Pasuk felt the need to say who they were. They were, again, let's repeat it, they were Benos Tzlafchad, who was Ben Chefer, they were Ben Gila, they were Ben Macher, then Ben Menashe, and the Mishpochas Menashe Ben Yosef. What's the oldest lineage? Because what was Benos Tzlafchad's intentions? They had good intentions. They didn't want land for themselves. They weren't selfish. Pasuk Dalet, as I highlighted, said, Lama yigara shema vinu, why will our name of our father be removed, mitoch mishpachto, from his our family? Just because he died and has no sons, he should lose out his name, his legacy is gone. It's because of that, but no Slafad also was concerned with the legacy of their families. Just as Pinchas was able to tap in and use the powers given to him by his grandfathers, no Slafad also realized the legacy that her father, grandfather, and great-grandfathers instilled within her, or within them, and they wanted to continue that legacy. It wasn't a selfish act. It was tapping into one's ancestors. Now, it's interesting that both these people, Tzlafchad and Pinchas, came from Yosef. I'm not sure if that's just coincidental. It's an interesting point. But either way, what comes out of Parshas Pinchas is that Pinchas and Tzlafchad are using the powers that are given to their grandfather, from their grandfathers, and continuing the legacy. I think this is going to answer our original question. Why Bris Milah begins, yeah.
Did you say Slavko was the one who gathered the wood, though?
No. Yeah, he was.
So what kind of legacy is he leaving?
Very good.
Like what,
So it could be, right, great question. So, first of all, some opinions say he wasn't. According to the one he was, it's a question. I don't remember for sure, but he just may not have, I don't know if it was intentional. It must have been, No, because he got killed. I don't remember. It's a great question. I don't know. I remember there's some iffy things about him, but great question. So let's just assume, according to the other opinion, who Tzlafchad was not the one who carried wood. He died. Right. So the theme within Pinchas and Tzlafchad is the ability to carry on the legacies of their forefathers. Now, let's before I get back to the Bris Milah, let's make it a little broader now. Last week, we spoke about Bilam and Balak. And what Bilam was trying to do, just a quick summary, Balak and Bilam were trying to attack Bnei Yisrael, curse them. How were they trying to curse them? They were trying to attack them by uprooting the foundations laid for them by Avram Avinu and their forefathers. We pointed out how Bilam, anything he blessed was blessed, and anything he cursed was cursed, just like we find by Avram. Avram Avinu and Parshas Lech, anything he blessed was blessed, anything he cursed was cursed. Bilam was trying to attack Avram. The words regel, shlosh regalim, were used several times in the conversation, the dialogue between Bilam and his donkey. We said the word regel means foot, foundation. It's because Bilam was trying to uproot the foundations. And the mission of those contrasts, Bilam versus Avram, Bilam was trying to attack Avram, the foundations. This is what Bilam's whole role was, trying to uproot the foundations, and it was Pinchas who was trying to maintain and keep strong the roots of his forefathers. Now we get back to the Bris Milah. Why is Pinchas in the beginning of Bris Milah? So, what are we doing in a Bris Milah? We're giving this new baby a new name, or a name. We are giving him Kedusha, infusing Kedusha. And we're telling him this name, whether it's named after someone who's alive or named after someone who's dead, if you're Sephardi or Ashkenazi, or whether it's named after nobody, but just a name, and this name was used by greater people before, or somehow he's just continuing, by having offspring, he's continuing the family name, the legacy. So who better than Pinchas, who was the paradigm of one to continue one's legacy, of tapping into Yosef's kochos and tapping into Aaron's kochos, that he should be the one that we should try to model after and have this new baby continue the legacy of our family. So I think it fits in very nicely. And in fact, Pinchas is said to be Eliyahu Anavi. And Eliyahu is said to be at every bris. So it's because, perhaps, since Pinchas was able to go reach back into his history and to reach out to his grandfathers, Pinchas was then zocha to the future of Eliyahu. Of Eliyahu, as Mar says in Babrasa, he never died. Eliyahu is the one to ultimately save us in times of Mashiach. Because Pinchas went to his history, he was zocha to be part of the future. And this lesson we're trying to instill into this new baby, who we're giving him a name, we're sanctifying him, he's continuing the offspring, he's continuing the legacy of his family, and that's why Pinchas begins Bris Milah.